Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want a cup of joe with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Welcome to episode 99 of Lights, Camera, Barstool, aka the Long Take, episode 72.
I think we've done 72.
Bare
quite
minimum.
A few times. My hat is so tall.
This boy got a big ass hat. Look at that. Holy
like
shit.
Doug Dimmadome.
You look like Marty Mush with his fucking Duke hat.
Don't say that. I have a great hairline.
That's where he hides the dude. That was so funny that one time we had him on the bracket and he was just him being self deprecating about all that shit makes it significantly funnier.
Yeah, that Rhea bit was fucking hilarious.
That I think he said, like, yeah, I could post like, man, I love puppies, and the first comment would be like, yeah, nice hairline, fucking bitch. But yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on today. Today's draft day. For our AFC boys. AFC, and I mean, I don't want to make this into an NFL thing, but AFC is now so loaded it pisses me off. Like, NFC's got nothing. Literally nobody.
I mean, they just have no quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, some would say it's important. As like, a former Andy Dalton enjoyer to Joe Burrow appreciator, I'd say level of play at quarterback does matter.
Speaking of which, I don't know, I'm sure this interview's, or whatever, their interview's airing soon, legendary Bengal Carson Palmer was in the office yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's not legendary anymore.
Oh, did he?
We've cut ties.
He shit on the Bengals when he left?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Mm. A lot of it was fair complaints, but a lot of it was like the way he left, the way he pushed his way out of town, and then like the way he's spoken retroactively about people in the organization. He's a bit of a bitch. I'll just say it.
Didn't he? I remember vaguely that he went to the Raiders and then immediately was like, no, fuck you, I'm leaving. Like,
yes.
He barely played for them and then he went to.
Yeah, and then he went Carson to Arizona, State. Had a couple great years and then some not so great years.
And then disappeared.
Yeah, no. I'm happy where we're at now.
Yeah.
I got my Bengals windbreaker on today. We're picking like 28, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Where are the Chargers picking?
21.
Yeah. It's hard to get hype once you're like outside the top 15.
I know. It's like you at best you're going to get like a surprise, right?
Yeah, I mean like you hope to get a starter
yeah.
There, but yeah, you're not going to get like a game changer for the most part.
Yeah, that was tough. I had to explain, like, my girlfriend made all these reservations for tonight, like we're going to go to this fancy restaurant. We're going to get all these crazy reservations. We're going to do it all for your birthday. And then I was like, I can't go cuz I need to talk about the Chargers drafting like an offensive lineman with the 21st overall pick for 5 seconds. That's at like 8 o'clock. And she was just like, that's not a good excuse. I'm like, no, it's not really. But I feel like if anybody would have realized that you skimped out on this show, you're just a dead man.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, are they bringing in good old Fitzy, Matt Fitzy, for the Bengals coverage?
Ooh. I actually don't know who. They listed it out, who's doing what picks, which I don't know if that's – I mean, by this time, it's already out, but
– if not, I'm going to come on the mic, and I'm just going to scream about whoever the Bengals pick is going to be the best pick of the draft. It's usually my myth. That's usually how I grade the Bengals draft. It's whoever we pick in the first round. Great. Second round, I usually get a little disappointed. We've been known to fuck that one up.
It is Fitz, by the way.
There we go. Good old Fitz.
Thank God we got Lil Sass doing the Buffalo Bills pick, though. That's for real. That's not a joke.
The one Ooh. Franchise Barstool is most aligned with, and for some reason, I don't think we have a single Bills fan in the office.
Yeah. We got a great celebrity coming in for this team. Don't say anything, but... Well, actually, again, this is already out.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. We could... Because this is... That airs night of, right? So we're good?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Stoff.
Stoff. I mean,
that's sick.
Man, I'm very jealous of Rachel Sennett.
Mattinson. Who else? Forgot about that. Who else? A couple other big ones too. That's crazy. Anyway, that was NFL.
Yeah, it's weird. They were gonna have Jerry Springer come on for the Cincy pick.
R.I.P. to a Cincy legend. Cincinnati mayor. How long was he actually mayor of Cincy? Like
a while, I'm pretty sure.
Like 10 years? That seems too long. But post show, right?
Or was doing mayors this? Even do?
I honestly have no idea. I couldn't say. All I know is that the only time I ever see a mayor in the news is if they're being shit on.
Just a year. Just 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Was he outed or was he just like a runoff guy?
What? Oh, yeah. This is what happened. He got a prostitute. He got caught getting a hooker.
See, that's
that
the
doesn't
thing.
Feel like you, if you're a politician, getting a hooker does not feel like, unless it's like a weird kind of hooker, like a fetish thing.
Or then, like underage.
Yeah, then, that's what I was going for. Yeah. Yeah, unless it's like that. I mean.
New York City had a great one, Elliot Spitzer. He wasn't mayor. I think he was senator. No, I forget what Spitzer was. Governor? And he brought prostitutes across state lines, which is where, that's where you get fucked up. He had him in like his limo.
That's what got him.
Mayors are like, you only ever hear, at least in New York anyway, you only ever hear about the mayor if they are fucking up, like everyone's shitting on de Blasio, or if they commit a crime.
I thought ours was Eric Adams.
Now it's Eric Adams. It was de Blasio.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, nobody likes any mayor. A mayor has like a grace period.
He makes fun of the Midwest. And I'm like, wait, just focus on New York. You don't have to bring everybody else down.
Dude, my least favorite thing was he posted through the mayor's office Twitter this video of like all these contraband dirt bikes and like him doing victory laps while they have a bulldozer like crushing the dirt bikes. I'm like, dude, they're so many bigger fish to fry in this city than contraband dirt bikes, and nothing else is getting fixed while he's doing these whatever. It's bullshit. Same de Blasio did all that. Dude,
I was on the subway on Monday on the way home, and someone hopped on the mic. Someone got into one of the cars and like first turned off all the lights, and they just started chanting, "Suck my dick, suck my dick." And then like 2 seconds later, you just hear some like the main comm guy just come on and be like, NYPD, can we check the last car? Check the last car, please.
See, that's good New York experience. I remember, I've lived in the city for a long time. When one of my buddies moved here for the first time, super sheltered white dude, he comes on and like he just makes a point in our group chat to just text us for the first year anything that he thinks is interesting, which by New Yorker standards is like not interesting. He sent us the first thing he sent us was just a picture of an Orthodox Jewish man. He's like, yo, look at this. And I'm just like, oh, you've never seen an Orthodox Jew in your life? And he's like, look at this big hat he's wearing. Like the big, whatever, I don't know what they're called, but like the giant ones. I'm like, yeah, dude.
I'll be completely honest. When I first moved here, I thought it was an Amish person for like the first second. And then I remembered, I was like, no, this is like Modest Yahoo.
The Modest Yahoo's type, yeah.
But yeah, no, my first like initial reaction was like, holy shit, what's an Amish person doing in New York City?
Modest Yahoo, two good bangers. One Day and King Without a Crown, right?
Yeah, he had another one like Time or something, Time of Your Life.
I just remember
something like that.
I like those two, although he was a Jewish guy doing reggae, which feels like not.
Yeah, he was all
white
over
guy
the map.
Doing reggae is always weird.
He was all over the map with his brand. I think that was his issue.
Yeah, and then I think he shaved his head and he did something fucked up. I remember that. I don't remember exactly what it is, but Modest Yahoo. He's not like on the run, but he did something bad. I remember that much. But that's been Modest Yahoo talk.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
We do actually have good movie news. We got our first pictures today, this morning, of the Dune characters, like all the new cast members. A lot of good ones. Florence Pugh, Austin Butler. What's her name? Leia Seydoux. All I know is Hideo Kojima loves her. That's the best thing about her.
You probably saw her in what was the French movie from like 2011? It had like the most ridiculous lesbian sex scene.
You're describing 2011 French movie. That's the artist.
No, I gotta look this up now. It is, if you've ever seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's just a 10-minute lesbian sex scene. And they're like 69ing and like grinding their pussies into each other's faces.
That's
it is
French, dude.
Fucking insane.
That's like, I remember Eva Green, like I think her first movie was something like along those lines where she just
Blue
like,
is the Warmest Color.
That was the lesbian one? Yes. Who was the other actress? Was it just French, random French actress, or someone we would know?
Adele.
Dazeem.
I can't even pronounce his name. It's Adele. Adele. The first, dude. I mean, what is this? It's like a Greek last name.
That is Greek. Eksharpopoulos.
Yeah. But anyways, they really get after it in that movie.
Yeah, that was Eva Green's first movie too. Same thing. And Hollywood, if you ever look at like critics and shit, they are obscenely horny for Eva Green. Like disgustingly horny. Like every single like perfect one shot, it's just a picture of Eva Green doing nothing. And it's
she's hot.
She is, but like I don't know why she's the excuse. Like they would never post like Kate Upton in The Layover or whatever.
The other woman.
The other woman. They never post her, but they're like, fucking Eva Green, look at this. And it's just her doing, just sitting there. It's crazy. But yeah, Dune characters, they look great. Dune 2, I think from what Denny had said something along the lines of like, this movie's going to make the first movie look like an appetizer and this is the main course. Love that, because I think that was my biggest complaint about the first Dune movie was that it felt more like, it didn't stand alone on itself enough. It was more like, this is very obviously part of a bigger whole, which like every beginning to any franchise or any trilogy, whatever, like it's going to do that regardless, but I would have liked it to stand alone a little bit better. And I do think that based on what he's saying, this will make me retroactively like the first one a lot more, but super pumped for Dune too.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Dune was it was always billed as unadaptable. And I think that's because you do need like 4 to 5 hours of runtime to really do it. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to split into two parts. So I think in his mind, he was like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a 5-hour movie. I'm going to have to split it into two parts and we're just going to have to roll the dice on this. Because, yeah, no, the first one, I love it, but it is very clearly meant to be viewed. I think Dune Part 1 and Part 2 are going to be viewed as just one movie.
Mm-hmm. Kill Bill style almost.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. But Kill Bill kind of stands, the first one stands on exactly, a little bit better. But yeah, no, I'm hyped for this. I mean, I can get the complaints about the first one. Like if you didn't like it, it is very sci-fi, like very, very like, I mean, it's the grandfather of sci-fi more than anything.
It's very smooth sci-fi too, which isn't always everyone's thing. Like and sometimes they like more of the gadgety sci-fi. You know what I mean? Like old school 90s anime sci-fi type stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, fucking pumped for it. I mean, I mean, Jeff was creaming his pants over it this morning.
He was.
Yes.
Nine to five.
And the comments from people are like, yeah, no, it's going to be amazing. Apparently shot 100% in IMAX. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an experience. Zendaya said she's actually in this one.
Which is great. Yeah, that was a very, really nice bait and switch from the first one.
I mean, yeah, that's tough. That marketing push, I don't think Denis Villeneuve was out there saying, yeah, push her this hard in the marketing. But obviously, the marketing team was like, yeah, we're going to push the biggest star in the world. We're going to push Zendaya.
Maximum amount.
And, I mean, Florence Pugh looks great as Princess Arulin. She almost looks like they have something on her, like prosthetics on her face. Her face looks different.
Yeah. She's the Empress, right? Or the Emperor's mm-hmm. daughter or something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Very important. Austin Butler, once we get our, like, first look at him,
let me tell you,
it'll be awesome.
Leo Atreides. Oh.
I'm very interested to hear the voice. He can't turn it off in interviews, so what makes me think he can turn it off in, like, doing other roles?
I'm assuming that part of this was filmed around the same time that Elvis is wrapping production, so, like, I don't know, maybe that, there's hope
Dune
there.
They filmed Dune last year.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was during the summer, because Florence Pugh missed one of the big film festivals.
She missed Venice, yeah, because of that reason and not because of
hating. Yeah, she said it was because of Dune filming. So yeah, I mean, Thade Ralph is a fucking dope character.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. Another one that makes me want to read the books more, because everyone always says the books are crazy and makes me want to not watch the Lynch one more.
The books get so out there.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's one of the rare situations where the main author died and then his son picked up the work. Mm. And his son was actually, like, a talented writer, but he got very lost in the sauce by, like, book, like, 7. I've watched YouTube videos on, like, what happens, and it's insane. it's like, what the fuck is this franchise?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that because I just got a tweet alert about this. I watched the first episode of Love and Death this morning, the HBO show with Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons.
Did that just come out today?
Yeah, they have the first 3 episodes. I only watched one like early this morning. It was pretty good. Very cliche, kind of. But also,
what is it about? It's about a woman having an affair,
and a woman having an affair with a guy, and then I believe she axe murders his wife. or something along those lines.
Okay.
But the whole major plot point of the first episode, not to be like a crazy spoiler, but it is a true story and all that. But like this girl, Elizabeth Olsen, who is insanely attractive, is just lusting after Jesse Plemons. Just like beyond lust. He's like, he picks her up at a volleyball game, like gives her a hand to get up. And she's like talking to her friend. She's like, I smelt the sex on him. I smelt the sex off this man.
Where's it supposed to be set?
Texas. It's like North Texas.
Can she do an accent?
Yeah, their accents are fine, but like Plemons doesn't
really
do one. I know
Jesse can do one.
He doesn't even really do a crazy one. He's just kind of regular, but like Elson is more into it because she's like a church lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a church lady. Those church ladies, they talk like Foghorn Leghorn. Everybody knows that.
Dude, it's so funny. It's her and Kristen Ritter. Like Kristen Ritter like her and her best friends.
Oh, Kristen Ritter's in this?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And Elizabeth Marvel. And a couple other people I didn't recognize off the top, but it was just really funny. She's like, I smelled the sex on that man. Mm. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, I felt him looking at me the same way. It was just, I don't know. It was kind of interesting.
Maybe Jesse Plemons does smell like sex. Would it surprise you?
I don't know. Did you see the recent?
I mean, pulling Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
At hit for his age group, that might be like, Kirsten Dunst, she's not as popular as she once was, but there was a period where she was
her.
The girl.
Like, she was her.
She was him.
Mm-hmm. You see him now? He looks skinny as shit. He looks great.
Yeah, I don't like it when people call him, what do they call him? Fat Matt Fat Damon.
Fat Damon. Fat Damon's lame. Thick boy mean. Jesse Plemons.
Or Meth Damon. That's mean.
Meth Damon's mean too.
He's handsome.
He is handsome. I like thick boy. He's got a good voice. And he has some of the thickest hair I've ever seen. Every single time I watch him in a show or a movie, I completely forget it. But he's got a fucking rug, like Lego hair.
He's got great hair.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man. If Francis didn't give off serial killer vibes.
It's really funny. He's like humping or fucking his wife. Humping his wife. Ew. That sounds so much
humping.
Worse. Fucking. That sounds so much worse.
That's what you do on your wedding day. You hump your wife. No sex.
That was 10 times worse than fucking. But he's fucking his wife, and she's just like trying to get pregnant. She's like, go higher, go this way. And he's sitting there just like with a white, with like a beater on. He's just like, like grunting.
Oh my God.
It's good shit. It's good shit. After that, we have the Next Goal Wins trailer. This is Taika's first movie coming out since Love and Thunder. It's a true story about a guy that took over the American Samoa soccer team right after they got a 31-0 loss in an international friendly, the biggest loss in international soccer history, which I watched the highlights of it on YouTube. It's incredible.
Is it just hilarious?
It's hysterical. Like, it's almost impossible.
And they lost to Australia, too. Like, not even like a world power in soccer.
And Australia, I think, had beaten a different country 22-0, like I think the day or a couple days earlier. So like, oh, it's just a fluke. And then he scored 31-0 on the other team. Taika Waititi directing, he's also in it in a small role. Michael Fassbender, Elizabeth Moss, Oscar Knightley, Will Arnett, Rhys Darby, who we've talked to before. I think this is where Taika Waititi really shines, especially if you go much like, obviously we really like Ragnarok. We love like What We Do, but like stuff that's more like What We Do in the Shadows, like Boy, like Hunt for the Wilder People. Not even JoJo, because JoJo's
a little bigger
scale,
but it's very intimate.
Yeah, like, that part of it.
I mean, like 75% of the movie is just in the house with Thomas and McKenzie and I can't remember the boy who played. It was really good. But yeah, the little boy. I mean,
Archie Yates is the only one I remember the kid.
Yeah, I know. That's such a memorable name. I wanted to say Archie Yates and I was like, no, that was a little fat boy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that whole movie for the most part is just very intimate. So yeah, I think that's where that's definitely his wheelhouse.
And Boy and Hunt for the Wilder People were so good and obviously set closer to where this is, I guess. Really excited to see what he does here because he's just really good at these like intimate sort of like relationship humor movies, if that makes sense. Like really good at like character dialogue, building the relationship between characters and then also infusing a lot of like really good, fast humor. Like just easy lines that are like not slapstick, don't make you think. Somewhere like in between there, and I really like that. Very excited for it. Also, maybe breaks the Fassbender streak, which would be great. The assassin, right? Whatever the fuck his name
it's
is.
It's not looking Fincher great movie. For our boy. He's on a cold streak. He's been on a cold streak for like 5 years.
Let's see. Fassbender. And
I'll be honest. The things I've heard about this movie, I like the trailer. Let me say that. I do like the trailer. It looks fun. Like you said, it looks like the good Taika. But I've heard about this movie for 2 years now, and I've heard it's not good. I've heard it's was kind of a disaster at one point. They filmed it in 2019 to give you a better picture. So yeah, anytime you film something and it takes 4 years to release, that's not great. It's not great at all, especially something like this, which is something that seems like you could film it in May and have it out by October. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I liked, though, is that he put on the in the
yes,
ad for
that was very funny.
Loser of this, loser of that.
Yeah, because it's like a loser. It's about losers. Yeah. So, yeah, I did like that. Loser of Academy Award and then loser of, what was it, Teen Choice Award?
For best, was it Kiss? No, it was for Ragnarok or something.
Yeah. I mean, Taika can take another hit here. The fact that they're releasing it later in the year makes me think maybe it'll be better.
We'll see.
And it's got all of Taika's like main people.
Yeah.
Like all the people he loves to work with.
Which is usually, it's a good sign, which because he didn't get all of those obviously in some of his other.
Yeah.
Stuff,
Love and Thunder. I'm willing to just like
move on. I think
move on to that. I don't think he gave a fuck about it and it showed.
Yeah.
It felt like someone doing a Taika impression. It didn't feel anything like a Taika movie.
It was something where when I watched it, I was like, okay, like there's some of the Taika jokes in it. Like it has that little humor. Like the thing with the axe relationship with Thor, I always thought that was funny. And at the end, I think my biggest complaint was like just that it felt kind of really fast and tonally bizarre. But after that, his just not caring about it in the post press, like in the press tour, basically, when like they're pointing out shit he fucked up in like the CGI as like a little joke. And he's like, yeah, I don't really care. And it's just like that part of it.
Yeah. That wasn't a good look for him at all.
Speaking of Fassbender, let's take a look at his Rotten Tomatoes, his last few roles. The last movie he was in, this can't be right.
He's like one of the best, I mean, in terms of like big budget studio actors. Like he is one of the best guys going.
One of the last movies he was in live action was Dark Phoenix, 22 on Rotten. Snowman, 6% on Rotten.
Snowman was so bad.
Alien Covenant, 65 on Rotten.
We talked about the other day. We actually like that movie.
Song
the
Song. Well, Alien Covenant, not Covenant.
We're Prometheus. Yes. That's what I was in my head.
Song to Song, 44. Trespass Against Us, 56. Wait, is that the one with the Western one? Because that one I actually kind of liked. Is that what I'm thinking about? No, it's not. The Western one, he did a Western movie that was pretty solid. Assassin's Creed, 19.
Jesus.
The Light Between Oceans, 62. X-Men Apocalypse, 47. And then Macbeth. Macbeth was his last good movie. Macbeth, he was really good in.
One from last year?
No. The one from 2015. Really, really good. That was Denzel played Macbeth in that. Macbeth is...
Oh, he played Macbeth in his Macbeth movie?
In 2015. It was really good.
Oh, okay.
And then before that, Steve Jobs. Slow West was the movie I was thinking of.
What the fuck? It's really that bad?
Yeah. It is.
What the hell? His agent actually might be the worst in Hollywood.
Dude, he's had a...
He's a tall, handsome man who can act.
It should not be that hard to sell. Nearly a decade of bad movies for one of like the top flight actors.
He was an Inglourious Bastard. He was in a Quentin Tarantino movie, an Aaron Sorkin movie.
Dude.
And then a like iconic comic book villain, like top three, top four, top five.
Mm-hmm. I do like that one of the things about Next Goal Wins that's very fast. Bender is like, I'm only going to take a role if I get to do a weird accent. And now he's a Dutch person in this.
Yeah.
He's like, I need to either speak a different language or do a different accent. That's the only two rules about him casting into a movie.
I really, 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 really want him as Mr. Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. Batman. I think he'd be great there. Or just run it back with him as Magneto.
Witcher Season 3 had their first like teaser trailer. Witcher's in a weird spot where like I really liked the first season. It felt very Witcher-ish. Not again, this is for my experience based from the game, not from the book. You read the book, I didn't. But it felt very Witchery. And then the second season got a little I don't think it was as good. And then obviously the news broke between these two seasons that Henry Cavill was going to stop doing The Witcher completely and that Liam Hemsworth was going to take over. And Cavill, for him, this was like a big passion project. Like he really, really loves The Witcher, just the same thing with like Warhammer 40K. And the fact that he left is, I feel like, extremely indicative of the fact that he hated the direction they were going with and that they were not being faithful to the books. They were not being faithful to the vision that he thought they were when they signed up for it, which is super bad news. I still think, obviously, he'll try really hard in this because he loves the property so much. He also, he had like little bits and pieces from, was it the Ungentlemanly Warfare movie? The new Guy Ritchie movie that's coming out that he's in?
Oh, there's another Guy Ritchie movie coming out?
I think next year. It's like the League of Ungentlemanly Warfare or something like that. But he looks really cool in it.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. Have you seen remember his picture from Argyle, which I don't know when that movie's coming out, but the movie with Dua Lipa, his haircut looks like Vegeta.
Dude, it's fucking bizarre. What is it? The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. That's it. He has a cool fucking look in it. That's all I saw. And he was firing, like, blind firing a silent Sten, which I love to see. But yeah, so Witcher 3 trailer looks solid. I think this would be the end of me watching Witcher. And I don't think I'd be interested in watching Liam Hemsworth taking over the role.
Yeah, I mean, you could pick someone worse, but that's a tough replacement. Like, they probably should have just taken their time off, honestly, and just took their time to find someone who would be a good replacement instead of just going. I think they just wanted a name. That's what it felt like. Liam Hemsworth just feels like a name. He doesn't feel like a real actor.
Yeah.
And I love The Witcher. Like you said, I read the books. Good books. Great books. But the show is not very loyal to them. Neither were the games, from what I understand.
Great games, though.
Yeah. I mean, and I heard that Blood Origin shit was...
Awful. I heard it was terrible. Unwatchably bad.
Yeah, I think this might be it. I could see them. I haven't started filming the next season yet, so I could see if the reaction to this is tepid and lukewarm, them just ditching this franchise. I know they love their IP, but people aren't going to tune in.
Want to see some League of Gentlemanly Warfare?
Oh, my God. He's got, like, this old-timey mustache, like, with the curls on it.
Is based very much around character.
It's got to get out of his life. Go one more time.
No, look, that's something which I was prepared for. I knew you were going to.
He just gets beefier and beefier.
Dude, he just gets more and more handsome. Like, he's going to be sexy forever.
He can thin out, but he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be, like, kind of fat in his 40s, but, like, carry it
It'll extremely be dad bod, well. Yeah.
Like, he'll look very, like, it'll be like a Sean Connery where just carries it so well.
Anyway, that's Witcher. Then the last thing we want to mention here, we'll be touching on other CinemaCon stuff on the next episode, but the Equalizer 3 trailer, Threequalizer. Biggest whiff in the world, not saying Threequalizer.
You should just call it the Equalizer : the Threequalizer.
Do like a John Wick thing with it. Like the Equalizer 3 : not Parabellum, but something similar, the Threequalizer.
That annoys the shit. I mean, it's John Wick 1, 2, and then John Wick 3 Parabellum, and then John Wick 4.
But yeah, it's the same thing from the most of you are familiar with Equalizer. It's just Denzel Washington absolute kicking ass. This time he's in Italy, beating the shit, killing a bunch of mafiosos, which is cool. That always plays. I think it's weird seeing him not in America, because I guess the whole cool thing I felt was like watching him fight his way through all these like American gangs and trying to like help a family or a person that like from there, and then like being in Italy. I don't know why he'd want to retire to Italy. Italy famously not a very welcoming place to non-white Italians. But a weird decision. But other than that, trailer looked fine. He was just killing a bunch of people. He shoves a revolver through a dude's eye. It's kind of sick. But yeah, I mean that's Threequalizer, baby.
Yeah, I mean
Antoine Fuqua.
I wonder if he says it like that.
I have no idea. We almost interviewed him once a long time ago.
Yeah. Where was the first one set? Was it Boston too?
Or was it New Orleans? First one was Boston. Second one, I think, was New Orleans.
Okay. I thought he was in New Orleans at one point. I mean, it's a great action franchise. Underrated, honestly.
Very.
Not one people talk about a ton, but very entertaining. Once he pulls that stopwatch out, you know shit's about to go down. Like, just him reuniting with Dakota Fanning, pretty cool. I don't know how much he's going to be in this movie. I think they just added her on for marketing because she was in the trailer like for 2 seconds at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm hyped for it. I know we'll probably have to break fights on for it.
Yeah. Oh, Dakota Fanning's in it too, which is cool. Man on Fire.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I was
you just
looking,
said Dakota Fanning.
I was looking up the fucking, what do you call it, the location of the last movie. Pedro Pascal was in the second Equalizer?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all. What the fuck? Damn, I guess he was.
His character?
Oh, he was shaved face.
Shaved face, that's Pedro.
Different person. Jesus. But yeah, no, that Man on Fire reunion is cool.
They got to bring him back so he can do red carpet interviews. People going to ask how big his dick is.
Yeah. How many pubes do you have right now? Can you count them for us? I just hate these motherfuckers so much, dude. They're going to literally run him out of cinema. But yeah, that's Threequalizer. I think it's tough to be like, it's nowhere near as consistent as John Wick as far as like the tier of quality.
No, but it's like, never reached the heights of any of them, I'd say.
But it's like, as far as like a consistent action franchise, I would say definitely 2 for 2, not in the same tier of 2 for 2 as John Wick, but like very fun, cool, unique action and really good one-liners. That's a great one-liner franchise. He's a lot of like badass lines in that.
Robert, yeah, he doesn't talk much.
Yeah.
Who was the girl in the last one? That's the girl in the diner. I get in the first one and the second one like mixed in my head.
Yeah, me too. Who was it?
You know who I'm talking about.
It's not Melissa Leo. It was... I'm going to have to rewatch Equalizer 2. I remember watching it not long after that dude came on Barstool Idol that was in Equalizer 2. He's like the dude that gets his like throat cut with the fucking
Michigan man got his throat cut.
He would be hilarious to be in that. No, it's just some random actor dude. But anyway, that's our news. Now we're going to do a little draft of the movies that are coming out in May. A bunch of movies coming out. Obviously, like a couple blockbusters, nothing crazy. But when I was parsing through my list, I was able to get exactly 10. Exactly 10. You know what? We'll do a coin flip. Let's four first. You can call it.
Tails never fails.
It's heads.
Fuck me.
That was unbelievable.
Fucking failed.
Immediately failed. So I pick first. I'll do, I think, the obvious one first. Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Guardians 3. Actually, I would be seeing it tonight if I didn't have the NFL draft show, too. We're supposed to see a screener for... We're interviewing Will Poulter next week. But I'll be seeing it next Thursday with everyone else. Guardians, the first one, my favorite of all the Marvel movies. The second one, I still think very good, not on the same plane, but still awesome. And then this, just based off the trailers and everything, looks like a good, like, emotional ending. And I feel like Gunn and everyone else has been very clear that, like, this is a closure of the Guardian storyline, at least in the solo movies. Like, you're not going to get that again. They might be in team up movies, but they didn't really give a lot of clarification on that. But I love Guardians. Another thing I can't wait for, I think in addition to the movie, is whenever they drop the soundtrack for it, because however much time they put into picking the soundtrack is exactly enough, because they have both movies 2 for 2 incredible music choices.
I'm pretty sure James Gunn does the
himself
music.
For the most part.
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure he does them. Yeah, no, the music is just, it's perfect dad rock. Like, it's just exactly. Music you can listen to with your parents and they'll love it too.
Mr. Blue Sky, fucking what's the Redbone song that plays in the start of the first one?
Say hey.
So, damn it. But there's a lot of really good Chain, obviously huge in the last one. But yeah, I gotta go Guardians 3.
Yeah, that's just the easy pick. Now that I'm looking through the movies that are coming out, this is actually a pretty thin month.
It's what very thin. Fuck? I got exactly 10 choices so that we could go 5 for 5.
Can I cheat off your draft board? I'm a Guardians 2 defender, and every clip, did you see the clip that came out yesterday?
I didn't want to watch it
anymore. 2 days ago? It was like how Rocket got his name.
Oh, no, I didn't.
This movie is going to make you cry. I think he's going to try and make you cry in this one.
I think Drax and Rocket might be toast.
Yeah.
The way they're phrasing it.
Yeah, I think they all might be done, to be honest. I don't know how much, what their contracts look like, but they all seemed very, they seemed like a very tight-knit group separate from the rest of Marvel actors. Like, they seem like they all kind of enjoyed working with one another and kind of were in it for their trilogy and probably piecing out afterwards. Because remember when James Gunn got fired and they're like, yeah, no, we're just not going to do a third.
By the way,
we won't do the third if you guys don't bring him back.
Speaking of that, there's a really good article on THR Hollywood Reporter that dropped about James Gunn's firing yesterday. It was really cool. We're like, just insightful stuff on both ends. They get like a bunch of interviews from people. It's awesome.
That's not still that he went from fired to the head of their rival studio.
Such a ridiculous fuck up on Marvel's end. But yeah, Guardians 3 for me. What do you?
I'm looking through.
There's one other major blockbuster that comes out. I just think you're tentative about picking it.
Yeah, I'm not picking it. Because I'm not very interested in it.
You're not picking White Man Can't Jump?
that's the one you're talking about?
No.
I'm going to pick Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
With Margaret Qualley and who else is in it?
So that is Margaret Qualley and Christopher Abbott. The heir to an hotel empire and the dominatrix who has primed him for success battle it out in a hotel room when he tries to end their relationship.
Yeah, it looks very good.
It's from Neon. Neon usually hits.
Yeah, the trailer was awesome. Margaret Qualley is a good actress. I think she could end up being great. Not there yet, but she's good. And the whole premise, I love like kind of that cabin fever psychological thriller, like where you're just stuck in one room for an entire movie and you don't know really what's going on. Like, yeah, looks awesome. So yeah, no, I'm going with that. And then for my second pick, I will go, God, there's some dog shit movies coming out.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Kandahar?
Kandahar, Gerard Butler, bro.
Kandahar.
Kandahar, Afghanistan. That's going to be a banger.
Dude, this is the same exact plot to the Guy Ritchie movie out right now.
Covenant, yeah.
Holy shit.
It's
together with his translator, they must find out of their way out of hostile territory to an extraction point in Kandahar, Afghanistan.
It's a twin movie.
What the hell?
That's also a great lookup. It's just twin movies like Ants, Bug Life, stuff like that. Don't shit talk Kandahar. Damn. We have fights on for that.
Dude, I've seen the trailers for all of these and they're... Oh my gosh. I'll cut this.
Don't cut it. I mean, this is
earnestly... a series. This isn't even a movie. Why is it on here? I do think that it's going to be funny. But I'm going to go with... Yeah, no. I'll go... God damn it. Still. I'm going to go with Still.
Still?
Yeah, that's the... it's not a movie. Well... It is a movie. It's being described as a movie, but with Michael documentary elements. Yeah, it is the Michael J. Fox story, which who doesn't love? Is he one of the most beloved people on the face of the planet?
Yes.
He has to be.
That would be a guy where I'd be devastated if anything bad ever came out about him.
Well, I got bad news for you. Something bad happened to him.
No.
Still happens to him every day.
He did something bad. That would be devastating.
Yeah, no. I mean, he just seems like one of the most genuine, like, overtly, genuinely positive people in Hollywood, despite his condition. And hit like that video of what band did he go up with? U2 a few years ago, and he just shredded the guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just an absolute animal. Back to the Future, one of my favorite movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be true for a lot of people.
Good sitcoms.
Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. And the trailer looks great. Like, I'm not a huge documentary guy, but hell yeah, sign me up.
All right, and for my pick, my two, I'll start with A24 movie, You Hurt My Feelings. It's directed by Nicole Holofcener, who wrote Can You Ever Forgive Me? She also wrote a movie which I liked and ate shit for, that fucking Rosamund Pike movie.
I know what you're talking about, the one on Netflix.
Yeah.
She vapes the whole time and scams old people.
Yeah. It's like, I'm happy. I don't know. But I like that movie. At least I like the screenwriting of it. And she's the writer on that. Julia Louis-Dreyfus in this movie, Tobias Menzies, David Cross. Beth struggles with a lack of self-confidence in her marriage with unsuccessful therapist Don is affected by betrayal. Before this, they have a peaceful but codependent relationship, which makes their only child uncomfortable. Beth's sister helps her cope with the pain, possibly because of her own struggles with her husband, Mark, who is a struggling actor. It's A24, which usually the bar is usually like decent. Again, A24 definitely has bombs, but like there is a standard of quality that not a lot of their studios or distributors have.
My only worry is what movie has Julia Louis-Dreyfus been in that's good?
She was probably one of the better parts of that dumpy Jonah Hill movie, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
Funnier wise, anyway. Recently. But let's see.
She had that terrible Force Majeure remake.
That's not her fault. Everyone was bad in that because that was a shitty idea in the first place and a bad director. Fucking, what was that? What they called Downhill?
Yeah.
That was bad. Let's see. Wakanda Forever. I forgot about that. I keep forgetting she's Valentina. That was a weird pick. I liked her in Onward, but that's a voice role. Let's see. Bug's Life. Good voice role.
She was in Bug's Life?
Yeah. I mean, I guess not a ton of film experience, but like she is, if you go watch like one episode of Veep, you know she's got it.
I mean, she's a sitcom queen.
Yeah, and Tobias Menzies, great actor, great British actor. If you've watched any HBO show, you've probably seen him at least once in every single HBO show ever made. David Cross also obviously hysterical. Just something about, I think, the entire crew of this, or the entire back end of this too, just interesting. Maybe the concept isn't like jump off the screen attractive, but I like everyone involved in it. So that's got to be near my top. And then right after that, I'll pick Fast X. I'll pick Fast X.
I would have taken it if you didn't.
It's good value at in third round. And Fast X, like, no matter what you want to say about the Fast franchise, like, I think they've been doing a relatively good job of understanding what they are. They're like, we are just this obscenely over the top hyperbolic franchise. Like, we don't like, we can go over the line and be relatively self-aware about it. Like, they're not trying to be like, this is some crazy art and cinema, although like Vin Diesel,
I have a question in retrospect. Are they too self-aware now? Do you know what I mean?
The space thing was the only part where I was like, this is, they knew people were tweeting about this, like, where are they going to go to space next? But like, I feel like they've at least based on these trails, they kind of reeled that part of it in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's just big, flashy entertainment. Get to see some people fight. Get to see Jason Momoa and Vin Diesel have a giant fist fight at some point, I'm sure. And we'll see our favorite, absolute favorite two Fast and Furious franchise characters. Jacob. Everyone loves Jacob. John Cena. Oh, and Cypher. Just Charlize. Come on, man. So those two, but I mean, again, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm going to fucking be there opening night for Fast X, but like, I'm going to be excited to watch it, or I am excited to watch it. So those are my two, You Hurt My Feelings and Fast X.
All right. Give me White Man Can't Jump. Do it. I think it could be funny. Listen, it could end up being funny. Jack Harlow, funny guy.
He is. Directed by a music video director.
Well, that's not great, but, who started as a music video director?
A lot of people.
I'm trying to think of the big one.
A lot of good directors did. There was one that recently I was just looking up. That like all he did
was F. Gary Gray.
Maybe.
I feel like F. Gary.
I love F. Gary Gray.
Yeah, I feel like he was. But yeah, no, I mean, could be fun. Streaming release. I wish you guys could see the list I'm looking at right now because it's tough. Which is kind of weird, considering like June and July are going to be like. Massive. Bumper to bumper. You think one of them would have thought to move into this time slot. But yeah, no, I'm somewhat excited for White Men Can't Jump a little bit. I don't know. You think we get a cameo from like Woody Harrelson?
Wesley Snipes, I would imagine. Yeah.
Wesley Snipes could use the paycheck, maybe.
Yep.
So yeah, I'll do that. And then fuck it. Give me Kandahar. I'll take it. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen a trailer for it, but it's got Gerard Butler and he's playing an undercover CIA operative working in the Middle East, which is what more can you ask for out of cinema these days?
Dude, this is, I love this.
He's on a hot streak with Plane.
Every single Gerard Butler character, Tom Harris, an undercover CIA operative stuck in hostile territory in Afghanistan. But it is directed by Rick Roman Waugh, who did Shock Collar. I fucking love Shock Collar.
I don't think I've seen that.
I love that movie. That is a great, one of my favorite prison movies ever made. It has what's his name? Nikolai Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones. A couple other really good actors in it too. But yeah, my biggest thing that makes me interested in it is him. Gerard Butler, he will always be Gerard Butler in every movie he's in, which is like, that's a good expectation, I think, to have.
Yeah, he said he's got his own brand of movie now, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what he said on KSC Radio?
Yes.
Like, it's a Gerard Butler movie. Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to do me.
So Kandahar and White Man Can't Jump. Killer combination.
Killer.
I will do the Master Gardener.
What is this?
Master Gardener. It's who's make this? I don't remember the studio, but it's made, directed by Paul Schrader, who's obviously kind of like a Hollywood legend. Wrote Taxi Driver, recently did First Reformed, which was awesome. Directed that. Joel Edgerton, Sigourney Weaver, Cy Morales.
Ooh.
Narvel Roth.
Paul Schrader.
Yeah. Narvel Roth is a meticulous horticulturalist at Gracewood Gardens, a beautiful real estate owned by a beautiful real estate. I've never heard that. Phrase that way. Owned by wealthy dowager Mrs. Haverhill, when she orders Roth to take on her troubled great niece Maya as an apprentice, his life is thrown into chaos as dark secrets from his past emerge. When I was looking at it, it just said like dark thriller mystery, and like I love that, and I love Joel Edgerton. I feel like he's crushed every role I've ever seen him do. Sigourney Weaver, obviously amazing. Asai Morales, I don't think I've seen him in anything recent other than Ozark, but he's awesome in Ozark, super good. Very excited for this. I think
very also, excited. You're throwing a very excited for the Master Gardener.
The title doesn't jump off the screen, and Paul Schrader definitely has misses. He had
the
that
first three words in the summary are a meticulous horticulturist, and you're throwing.
Well, actually, the first three words are Narvel Roth is.
Oh, I got a different plot.
Uh-huh. Narvel Roth. Schrader has misses. He did that Card Counter movie with what's his name, Oscar Isaac. Recently, which is pretty bad.
The Card Counter?
Yeah.
It's literally just called The Card Counter, right?
I think it's just Card
I
Counter.
I heard that was okay.
It wasn't great. Not nearly on the level of like First Reformed, which was incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think all the components of this look awesome. It's definitely not going to be a movie that jumps off the screen, Master Gardener, but I don't know. Something about it I like. And then for my last pick, I will do... Little Mermaid's probably not going to get picked, is it? I didn't...
The more I see of it, the more I feel bad for hating it because I don't want to be the...
I care so much about Little Mermaid. Because
then you get lumped in with the people who care too much about Little Mermaid or the people who are like mad that Little Mermaid is black, which yeah. I just don't care. I just want it to look good mm-hmm. and like be different from the original. And it doesn't... It just looks like another one of Disney's live action blunders. Like,
yeah.
That just are soulless cash grabs.
Yes.
It looks terrible.
I'm going to avoid it.
The more I see of it, it looks really fucking bad.
I'm going to avoid it at all costs, and I'm going to have my last pick be The Starling Girl from Bleecker Street. It's a directorial debut for Laurel Parmet. Eliza Scanlon, who's in Sharp Objects, Little Women. Louis Pullman, who I think is kind of awesome. Like, that's Bill Pullman's kid. He was in
Top Gun. I was about to say, is he related to Bill Pullman?
Yeah, he was in Top Gun. He was in a couple other movies. He has, like, a great, creepy vibe to him. Jimmy Simpson, another great creepy actor. The McPoyle from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, Jimmy Simpson. He's a great actor.
Great in Westworld.
He was phenomenal.
Really, really good. Jen Starling is a 17-year-old girl raised in a fundamentalist Christian community in Kentucky. So
okay.
You missed out big time on this one. But I feel like any movie that's set in like within like the Christian sort of cultish community.
She's an Ashland cool. head ass.
Yeah.
That's Ashland.
So Starling Girl, my last pick. I'm kind of pumped for that
Asbury,
one.
Asbury. Sorry to Ashland, Kentucky. I didn't mean to do that. It's Asbury, Kentucky.
Asbury Christian Girl.
Asbury.
Great cast. Cool concept. Bleecker Street usually does well. Don't know the director at all, but yeah, I'm excited for them.
Lame. I'm going to go last two picks. Fool's Paradise, which is Charlie Day's movie.
Forgot about that.
A Mute Simpleton. See, that's a good start. A Mute Simpleton. Mm-hmm. If you're using the word simpleton in your summary, I'm all in because that's me. A Mute Simpleton gets off a bus in Los Angeles and by happenstance. All right. That's a word that I don't like.
Nah.
I don't use that word. By happenstance, suddenly rises through the Hollywood scene to become a celebrity, only then to lose it all. So, interesting. Ray Liotta's in it. I guess yeah. Ray Liotta's going to have...
He has so many posts.
He's going to have a lot of these, I guess. Ken Jeong, Adrian Brody, Edie Falco, John Malkovich. So, stack cast. Jamie Bell, Travis Fimmel. It's a limited release. It's a comedy, dramedy, I guess. I don't know. Could be good. Looks interesting.
You know what it gives me vibes of is that Pickle movie Seth Rogen was in.
An American Pickle.
Yeah. It gives me vibes of that. I don't know how to explain it, but those are the vibes I get from this movie.
I really hated that movie.
That was a dumb one.
He fell in a vat of pickle juice, right?
And survived for 100 years or whatever.
It's so stupid. So stupid. He's got a series, though. Did you see that trailer for his new series, Seth Rogen?
No.
It's Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. And it looks very funny. It's an Apple TV series.
I dig that.
And it's like Seth Rogen pretty much playing himself, which I think is when he's at his best. He's just like kind of a fuck up.
World's End is, or not World's End, fucking This Is the End. So good.
Yeah, and he like decides to reconnect with his like old best friend who's like now married and she has kids and basically like derails her life. Looks funny.
Was she his wife in Neighbors? No.
Yes? Yes. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100% was. Neighbors, very funny.
Sneakily very funny. That's a forgotten. Not like as funny as like a sneaky role models thing, but like that is good.
The Robert De Niro party it cracks me up every time. And then just the black guy dressed as Samuel L. Jackson. He's like, that's not Robert De Niro. And he's dressed as Samuel L. Jackson from Jackie Brown. And he starts doing the Samuel L. Jackson Pulp Fiction speech.
So here are our teams.
Wait, don't I have one more?
No, that was your last one. You have Sanctuary, Still, White Man Can't Jump, Kandahar, and Fool's Paradise.
Okay.
I have Guardians 3, You Hurt My Feelings, Fast X, Master Gardener, and The Starling Girl.
Let's go through some of the movies left on the board.
I have to piss my pants, so let's...
Okay,
let's abridge it. I'm just been sitting here going like this, like curling my toes because I got a piece of bread.
I was just
going
to say, The Machine, I think that's going to be painfully unfunny.
Dog shit. Yeah.
I like Bert Kreischer, friend of the program, friend of Barstool, but...
Looks bad.
Anytime you turn a stand-up bit into a movie...
Yeah. Great stand-up bit.
All-time stand-up bit. Not worth it. But I don't think it needed a movie about my father. Keep getting a ton of ads for that with Sebastian Maniscalco or...
Maniscalco.
Fucking
non-Paisan over here.
Hey, whatever. I don't want to see this fucking, you know... Right, I'm not going to say it. So that Little Mermaid, this is a weak month. I didn't expect that when I pulled it up, but...
There's some good ones. This will be interesting because I think this is one where there's a couple of these like I looked them up. I didn't hear about them.
One of these will be very good. One of these will be like really good surprise.
Fast X.
I don't think it's going to be Fast X.
People are going to be pissed about it.
I think it's going to be Sanctuary.
Sanctuary. One of those smaller ones.
It's going to be Sanctuary because everybody, Margaret Qualley is a dom. Sorry. Like, come on.
A24 and like the smaller studios are getting into that shit between this and what was that? Mia Goth one. That was pretty good.
Infinity Pool,
yeah. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. That was a good movie.
Julia Fox had one, too.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the episode. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be talking again more about the CinemaCon stuff then. But until then, we will see you then.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.